realizing that, come up with a rational solution. The solution, to me, has always seemed very obvious, and yet, you know, it's never been forthcoming, and that is simply to add a penny bump when you take your bottles and cans back to the bottler, charge them an extra penny for each one. They're already making money on the fact that they don't redeem everything they sell. They're also making money on the fact that when they do redeem them, they then get to go and collect money for the recyclability value of the aluminum or the glass. You know, they're making money off the bottle bill. Your folks are paying, or, you know, it's costing your folks. It seems to me we ought to equalize that out a little. But I've never heard you come forth with that kind of a suggestion to sort of level the playing field in terms of the cost of this program. All I hear people do, like your testimony, is say, now we're not in favor of repealing the bottle bill or anything, but then rag on it for about a half an hour to tell all the things of, that are bad about the bottle bill. But no, we don't want to repeal it now, mind you. You know, I get a little tired of this testimony. Instead of offering some constructive solution, you know, all you do is get upset with us that, you know, when we want to add wine coolers, which are 1 or 2% at the most of the total volume of these kinds of containers.
Senator Babay, Senator Manuel, again, in response, you're correct, and certainly my comments today were not directed toward suggesting that, nor is the question before you, the question of whether you want to repeal the existing mandatory deposit mechanism. That's an obligation that we have, and while many of the retail food markets in the state are not happy with that obligation, they are reconciled to the fact that the obligations under that program are obligations that they have and that they are likely to continue to have into the foreseeable future. The point that we are making and the point that I made today and that I think Carol tried to make today is that while we can handle the existing program at considerable sacrifice and with considerable problems, each suggested incremental addition causes some very real problems for us, economic and otherwise. And if the state, again, I can't say it any more clearly, but if we see ourselves moving in to recycling on a broader and more comprehensive scale, then we're going to have to seriously evaluate other mechanisms, because this one simply can't handle the loading, can't handle the existing loading. I mean, I used the pack mule analogy before, that you know, you can put so much on that faithful pack mule and it will carry the load and do everything you want, but at some point in time you overload it, and we're suggesting that that you're there. Now, in terms of creating solutions, that depends also in part upon policymakers such as yourself, in terms of what it is you think you want to encourage, what you want to do to help create markets for whatever it is that you want to collect. And then we can start to talk about creative ways to come up with collection systems in order to do that.
Senator Hamby.
Yes. Jack, deja vu.
We've been here before.
I can't tell you how sorry I am, because at the last moment, of course, last session, I did, in fact, switch my vote and support the notion of an interim study. I was in high hopes that something constructive would have come out of this interim. A rational way of funding redemption centers. Surely, in your conversations with the industry, hasn't something surfaced, something workable surfaced?
Senator Bradbury, Senator Hamby, I think there are a number of other alternatives that we need to consider, that the states need to consider. I can't help but make...
The 2% litter tax, the Washington model,
You know, I can't help but I just make a comment before I answer the question. You indicate you've been down this road before, and you're right. You've heard people like myself making the same comments. Unfortunately, the same solutions seem to be coming back and be directed toward us. Let's just take that old vehicle and jam something else into it. And you're right. I mean, we do need more creative. We need a creative process, I think, to evaluate some different alternatives. You folks made a commitment to curbside recycling. 4 years ago? 2 years ago?
83.
That's a program that I think has great merit, or great potential. If we can't get people to take things to the curb and make them available for pickup, we're in real trouble, because we're sure not going to get them to take them long distances in order to recycle them, unless we've got some complicated incentive program involved. So I think that's a program that offers great potential for raising our level and our commitment to recycling. And there are in some other states, they're moving in the direction of doing things similar to that. New Jersey being the most notable. Certainly one of the other potential avenues for exploration is trying to set up freestanding recycling centers. California has just passed an ambitious law directed toward doing that. We don't have any actual experience, obviously, with that measure yet, because they're going through the implementation stages right now. So certainly those two basic models provide or some variation on that theme provide some, you know, starting point, I guess, for an evaluation that might be fruitful.
Further questions?
Can we tax do you put the 5 cents on the bottle as it comes into the state, as it might be filled and generated in the state, in order to fund a local redemption center where the rewards can be immediate, just as they are today when I return my sack of pop bottles back to the grocery store and I receive my cash in hand? Is that feasible?
Well,
there isn't a real incentive, even in a curbside recycling program, I think, to redeem the numerous items that are covered here in legislation within, you know, this particular committee. Do we take the onus off of the retailers entirely?
Well, I'm not trying to evade your question. I'm not sure I have a response for the question in terms of how we go about structuring a system that provides the necessary incentives to reclaim some of those things that people might not reclaim or want to put out for reclamation naturally. One of the problems is that if we're going to recycle, and in fact if we're going to stop littering on a higher level, it's going to require some initiative on the part of each and every one of us and some personal responsibility for making the litter. But I don't have a proposal right now to lay on the table in front of you that might, for example, provide the necessary monies to make the system work. You say we have a California model to see how that goes together. It's a reasonably complicated program that is there in statute, but it's not in place in the field yet.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. McKay.
I'm Chuck McKay, president of Katie McKay's Markets, Coos Bay, Inc. We operate 16 supermarkets on the Oregon coast, 11 of which are in the district of Senator Bradbury, 2 in the district of Senator Brenneman.
welcome today.
Good to see his mayor face. We've talked about costs, I think, as much as we need to at this point in time, as far as I'm concerned. My primary concern is sanitation with this issue. I'm a provider of food products, including fresh meat, poultry, produce, bulk foods, and it concerns me deeply that I'm also a returnable refuse collection site. Since the adoption of the bill, we have experienced certainly an attraction of additional attraction of insects and rodents. All containers include an amount of residue that's substantial enough to create offensive odors, certainly, and attract and sanitary disease carriers. In an attempt to control these problems, I've recognized an increase of the use of various insecticides and pesticides in our markets. The use of these products are neither conducive to the standards of sanitation, and they are hazardous to food products. I feel any increase in the amount of returnable collection refuse by me as a primary food provider will escalate that problem of sanitation and the diseases associated with collection. I think before any expansion of the bottle bill can be considered, we have to remove the food retailer from the unsanitary role of the returnable container refuge collection site. And my suggestion is to set up separate recycling centers away from the food chain. Thank you.
Question for Mr. McKay. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Just a minute, Secretary. We do have Mr. Pratt here from the Washington Department of Ecology to talk about what they did adopt in Washington this year. So, or in last year. Senator Cairns.
Yes, sir. Mr. Lowe, I think Senator Lowe used a number on the order of 11 million additional containers. Is that a number that represents an industry estimate of the numbers of containers that would be covered annually by this legislation?
Senator Bradbury, Senator Kearns, and I don't know if you arrived after I made the comment, you will see the figure 14 million in my written testimony. The figure 11 million comes from the legislative research report and that was an estimate coming from someplace in the wine industry. So 11 million was the rough figure that.
So we've got 11 million containers, of which zero are returned. Is that right, as of right now?
Through the existing mandatory deposit movement.
The question is, how many go through the Opportunity to Recycle Act curbside recycling process? We have no idea how many might actually be separated as green glass and set out at curbside. We don't have any research on that.
That's correct.
Okay. We have some research on the participation in that program, which would mean if you take the same kind of numbers, you might be able to say that somewhere, if you've got 11 million containers, you might have as many as 9 or 10 million of those containers going into the solid waste stream in landfill. I know that. It seems to me that we're talking about, we haven't done a very good job of promoting curbside recycling. So what we're doing is saying that even that 50% recycling, a vast amount of it, it's 5 million, 6 million, 8 million, who knows, are going to the landfill. In essence. That's where they're going now, right?
You're asking?
Yes.
Senator Cairns, I think since they didn't come back through the stores.
They're going someplace.
And since we found 200 and some of them around the roads out of 92,000 pieces of litter, so I'm assuming that most of them don't end up along the roads. Some of them then would conceivably end up in curbside programs or people who take them voluntarily to recycling centers. The remainder of them must therefore and probably do end up in
the landfill. Well, it's interesting. I saw in a figure the other day which said that approximately 1,500 landfills are closed in the United States of America every year by virtue of the fact they're full, which means that every biennium is one landfill closed for every county in the United States of America, which is, when you start thinking about it in those terms, you're talking about a lot of solid waste and a very large solid waste problem. So when you're talking about 11 million containers and only a small portion of them ever getting recaptured anywhere in the recycling process, we're talking about a significant addition to the solid waste stream, it seems to me. So, okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you all very much.
Can I make one comment, please, Chairman?
Yes.
Just Senator Monroe's comments, I understand the frustration of having workers come down and constantly land blast the bottle bill. We don't think it's our job, though, to get rid of the bottle bill until there's something far more intelligent put in a way to replace it. You don't let one go of one rope until you have another one to hold on to. And if I ever felt there was an opportunity to come in a positive vein to say, this is what we'd like to suggest, that would certainly be worth another drive down to Salem. To address Senator Perrin's comments about curbside recycling, again, my business is in Westland. We've lived there since 1946. But we've had a free curbside recycling program in Westland since 1983. And the program was created by the City Council to reduce solid waste output by 50%. The results of this in 1984 was that we reduced over 10% of the waste flow generated in West Lynn was diverted and recycled because of this curbside recycling program. So it's a start, and the city goes ahead. Education, we think, is one of the significant things to do. You've got to let people know what can be done. And one of the main things in education is that recognizing that some products with excessive packaging or packaging that cannot be recycled really should be avoided, and that's another way to avoid the problems in the grocery store. So.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Senator Jane, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've already been here once, and so I won't take long, and I didn't bring you any drinks today.
Oh, you mean that's not yours?
Oh, Mr. Chair, my name is Jane C. I represent part of Northeast and part of Southeast Portland, Senate District 10. This bill only addresses one thing, coolers. And the figures that I have show that they are 2/3 of 1% of the market that we're dealing with. 2/3 of 1% of the pop and the beer bottles that are already in the bottle bill. I don't think that is an overwhelming burden to ask anybody to deal with, especially since virtually all of them are dealing with it anyhow.
Would you say that 2/3 of 1%?
2/3 of 1% of the pop and beer container market. And those are based on figures from both the OLCC and estimates through legislative research from the industry as much as we could get.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Monroe?
Just to make that real graphic, that means if your local grocery store is handling 300 bottles a day, it's going to have to handle under this bill 302.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. 300 may be low for what they handle, but in any case, this bill is aimed at one thing and only one thing, and that's cooler bottles. I have no intention ever of trying to put a real Sherman wine bottle under the bottle bill. I'm not going to come and ask you to do that. Only cooler bottles. The consumers are already paying for the cost of the handling for this. I assume that there isn't anybody doing business in Oregon who's not charging against their business the cost of handling these containers. Now, I did, just because I had a lot of people say, why don't you, I did have a bill introduced that would increase the deposit and would allow retailers and distributors to share part of the increase. I didn't have one consumer tell me that they thought that was a good idea. I had a lot of consumers call me up and say, what are you doing that for? They're already charging me the cost of the product. I said, well, They said that somebody ought to do that, so I introduced the bill so it could be there for discussion. Then we discovered, of course, that it turned out to be a revenue bill the way it was written, and so it can't be a Senate bill. It has to be dealt with in the House, and there is a House member who is looking at amending that other bill into another bill in the House. So I did try, good faith. One of the things that people have addressed that you might want to think about is the idea not of the redemption center, because I don't think the retailers are going to want somebody not to come into their store and bring their containers back and get their deposit and then spend the deposit plus some other money in the store. But you might ought to look at that third-party redemption idea that they're trying to address, I think, with another bill. I don't know if that's in this committee or not. The other thing that I need to tell you is that we are working on amendments to define this not with a size exemption, but only by the contents, and I will be bringing those to you as soon as I'm satisfied. You also will probably be asked for some amendments to have an effective date that takes place during the winter when it's not Christmas and not summer when there's a higher volume, to make it easier to work. And you're also going to be asked about that territory thing, and I don't care what you do about that, but you'll have to work that out yourselves. I wish that could be taken place in another place, because I don't think that it's the issue of this bill. Anyway, I wanted to let you know about the amendments. I don't want to take any more of your time. I'm late for two meetings already, and I do have to answer any questions, but if you don't have any, I'm going to split.
Two-thirds of 1%, now you said the sources of that were from an analysis of OLCC.
That is...
And distributors, or what?
That came from legislative research, and they told me that they got the... Of course, they have all the beer figures from OLCC.
Right.
They also have wine cooler figures from OLCC. They had to estimate the pot figures.
So the pot.
Yeah. So that's what we were working on.
Okay. Any further questions for Senator C? Thank you very much.
Thanks for your time.
Okay. Now, I'm going to ask witnesses to try to be quick, because it's 10 after 4 and there's 16 people still signed up to testify, and we're scheduled to be out of here at 5. I know we won't get out of here at 5, but we do have other issues that we have to deal with, so I'm going to ask people to try to address specifically the issue, not go through all the problems with the bottle bill. I think we've heard legions of testimony on that for years. What I'm asking people to do is tell us what specific problems or support, depending on what side you're on, this bill does in terms of the impact it has on you if you add wine coolers, or why wine coolers should be added. But let's try to keep the testimony limited to, this bill adds wine coolers to the bottle bill, so let's try to keep our testimony limited to wine coolers in the bottle bill. We're not having a hearing on the bottle bill today. Okay? Having said that, Bruce Caldwell, Jim Lindholm, and Bill Nelson. I'm just going to call people up on panels of three. I hope that's okay.
As long as we don't start with fist fights at the witness table.
We'll see. We're all set up against it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fine.
Like, what's this? Mr. Caldwell, why don't you start, and then Mr. Lindholm, and then Mr. Nelson.
Thank you, Senator. I thank you for this opportunity. I'm Bryce Caldwell, owner of the Marketplace, two supermarkets, one in North Albany and one in Monmouth. I also, this year, am acting as chairman of Oregon Food Industry, OFI. The three preceding people who testified here certainly covered the subject quite well. And I won't repeat that. I would like to make one comment on what was just brought up about the 11 million or the 3/4 of 1%. Thinking of this as a logical thing that happens in the back rooms of my store,
a bottle, like a wine cooler bottle, is somewhat different than cans or 8 packs of pop, which constitutes a large part of the volume of numbers of items. So it's a little more difficult to handle the single pack or the wine cooler type of bottles than it is to handle cans, which is a tremendous part of the volume. That's just an aside, just from a mechanical standpoint, that's all. My brief comments have to do with, I can agree with what has been said, but from a sanitation point of view, I have 2 of those smaller stores that were talked about. We have older facilities. We have been written up twice in the past year by the state sanitation inspector in one of the stores for not having clean enough room. And if you could see the back room of our North Albany store and where these containers are placed, since we take in more than 140% of the cans we sell, we get on Monday morning, it is impossible to get through the back room of the store until the people come in to pick up the bags of empty bottles, bags of empty cans. It is a terror. And from a sanitation standpoint, that's my single biggest concern, absolutely. From a financial standpoint, it's obviously difficult, and you're asking me as a family, I have 2 sons in the business, to consider another near impossible hardship as we grow, as this bill continues to grow. Let me make a couple of comments in truth. Someone asked here, why aren't grocers opposing this more? I find it, and in talking and in public relations types of things, and talking to people and saying I oppose the bottle bill or I oppose aspects of it, for me as a businessman and in a small community, it's kind of like opposing motherhood or apple pie or that type of thing. You cannot be against it, so you have to be for it, because it says that we must be against the cleanliness. And to ask for money for it, it makes it sound to me like that if you people would give us 2 or 3 cents handling charge, then the more I handle, the more money I make, and it puts us in a, puts me in a position of saying, if I'm making some money on it, then why not expand the bill? And that bothers me considerably, because I do not want to see it expanded. I have other remarks, but in the sake of time, I would like to limit that. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for this question? Appreciate your coming in today. Mr. Lindholm.
Mr. Chairman, I have some written comments I'd like passed out to the committee to present them to you.
Why don't you hand them over to there we go.
Mr. Chairman, Senators, my name is Gene R. Lindholm. I'm president of West Coast Protective League in Oregon Division. I'm also president of the Glass Pottery Plastics and Allied Workers Union. And for sake of time and expediency, I will run through my written testimony here and entertain any questions that you might have. Hopefully I'll be able to answer. In the beginning, that says and so stated, I am strongly opposed to Senate Bill 508, primarily because it will have a definite negative impact on my job and the jobs of my fellow workers. It will affect workers in other related industries as well. I have been employed at Owens Illinois Glass for some 28 years. I have seen the original bottle bill destroy 1/3 of the skilled, semi-skilled jobs in our facility. I have worked closely with many of the past legislators during the years of the birth of our bottle bill, which, in my opinion, was made famous only by the institution of a massive cleanup program on our highways, which is now called the Litter Patrol. I suggest to this committee that the addition of wine coolers and other glass containers or products to the law via Senate Bill 508 will not make a speck of difference in the overall litter and solid waste problem that we have in Oregon. To add this bill to the laws would further curtail our product and jobs in our state. I represent over 400 people in the Owens Illinois glass plant, where we make only, and I quote, only 100% recyclable glass. We have a very successful recycling center at our plant, which has reused over 70 million pounds of glass containers and put back into the urban economy at a $1.5 million. On the other hand, I feel I must recognize the position of environmentalists as a legitimate concern. I too spend much of my free time in the rivers and in our great outdoors. I have drifted over the rivers in Oregon, Washington, and I too share the same concerns. It makes me angry to find garbage strewn around our rivers and lakes, not to mention our highways. I recognize the problem as a serious one because I happen to reside next to the Clackamas River and I see it most every day. But I honestly don't feel adding wine coolers to the bottle bill will have any effect on the slabs of discarded garbage in this manner. I further appeal to the committee to give us the benefit of the doubt that I'm sure exists in some of your minds that Senate Bill 508 will have little or no effect on the solid waste problem. Ian and Amy, let me ask you one question. If you woke up in the morning and found an Oregonian or a German newspaper scattered all over your yard, would you draft a bill to control or tax it, and thereby put their workers out of a job? I submit to the committee we have laws to remedy this problem in Senate Bill 405, curbside recycling. Let's give it a chance to work before you elect to put more workers